I like to play me latest chart topper. It's called Me Fans Are Stupid Pigs.
The following training video contains performances by highly trained professional criminals.
I think the message to psychos, fanatics, murderers, nutcases all over the world is do not mess with suburbanites because, frankly, we're just not going to take it anymore.
What are you doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, I had to get that there crossroads last midnight. Sell my soul to the devil.
What did the devil give you for your soul, Tommy?
Well, he taught me to play this here guitar real good.
Podcasting live from the Nuthouse basement down by the river across the street from the water treatment plant in lovely Lawrence, Kansas. You are listening to Sunglasses After Dark. My name is Nick. It's a lovely day outside. Why am I in my basement? Well, because I'm recording this on Saturday afternoon before the podcast goes live. And I'm going to spend a very rainy, crappy Sunday tomorrow with my parents driving an hour from here, and I'm spending this nice day inside the house cooking food and doing all these things to get me ready for the upcoming week. It doesn't make any sense, but hey, I can't control the weather, and that's the way it works. It's been a pretty weird couple of weeks back in the swing of things with my day job and all of that, but I've been acquiring all kinds of wonderful, interesting music. We've got an interview on this episode with Rick from Southern Culture on the Skids about their upcoming split with the Fleshtones and Los Straitjackets entitled Mondo Zombie Boogaloo that is out October 1st on Yep Rock Records. I went all the way to Iowa City to bring you back things, and it should be great. But we're going to start it out. The big news in punk rock over the last month is the fact that the Replacements are reunited and playing reunion shows. This weekend, they're playing their second show at Riot Fest Chicago, but their first one was at Riot Fest Toronto several weeks ago, and this was the song they started out with from the seminal album Sorry Ma, Forgot to Take Out the Trash. This is The Replacements with Taking a Ride.
Thank you. I couldn't drink enough to make this make sense, but I think I'm gonna give it a try. There's no settling down, there's only driving down the state. So I drive.
You know what I think's really sad? I know how really sad you are. I'm probably gonna leave real soon. Just wanted to let you know before I say au revoir. Au revoir. You probably don't even know what that means. Au revoir. Au revoir. You probably don't even know what that means. She says that it's French. I know what it means.
Off their most recent album, Talon of the Hawk, that was The Front Bottoms with Au Revoir, Adios. That's parenthetical, Adios. If you want to hear a really great version of that, you should go to NPR's All Songs Considered blog, go to the Tiny Desk Concerts. They do four songs off of Talon of the Hawk, and they're all fantastic. They're like stripped down, acoustic. Oh, so good. Highly recommend checking it out. Before that, Old 97s did Jagged off of Fight Songs. New music from Heavy Times off their Hozak Records release, Fix It Alone. That was Might Not. Ugh, goddamn Hozak. Just one of those record labels that just constantly puts out things, just like massive amounts of records, and they're all good. It's kind of like Chicago, another Chicago label, actually, Trouble in Mind. They, you know, they put out like these batches of records where like they don't put anything out for a couple months, and then all of a sudden it's like five albums, like a couple LPs and a couple singles, and there you go. And they're all fucking great. So, yeah. Go to Hozak Records, get on their mailing list, and just buy things as they come out. You'll be fine. And we started everything off with The Replacements from Sorry Ma, Forgot to Take Out the Trash on Twin Tone Records. That was the first song, Taking a Ride. Also the first song, the recently reunited, well, let's call them The Replacements. It's essentially the Tommy and Paul show with Josh Fries on drums and a gentleman whose name I don't recall on bass. But yeah, it's you know what, fuck it. If it was Paul Westerberg out there playing Replacement songs, I'd be thrilled with that in and of itself. But I mean, this is even better. So you can find their whole first set from Riot Fest Toronto at Slicing Up Eyeballs. Let's go back even further. Recently reissued on Slovenly Records, this is from the Penetrators' first album, The Kings of Basement Rock, and it is entitled Baby, Don't You Tell Me.
Baby, don't you tell me what to do. dumb shit and put yourself in an orbit where verbose is verboten, ferocious, forgotten. Wanna take a lot of your electro shtick, but it's form over content and more over nonsense. We're disappointing villains, just a bunch of spoiled children. We can emulate a sunshine, save a New England stream. We'll be right back.
in another case of I wish I was recording this on Sunday instead of Saturday, that is Terry Maltz from their most recent album, Nobody Realizes This Is Nowhere, on Slumberland Records. That song's called Well Adjusted. I'm seeing Terry Maltz with a couple other bands tonight, and I'd love to be able to like tell you how that show is, but I'm recording this show on Saturday, not Sunday, so that kind of sucks. Bent Shapes have a new album out. It's called Feels Weird. It's fucking great. I've not heard their other stuff, but I enjoy this album, specifically this song, Brat Poison. So good. We've played Diarrhea Planet on the show before. They have like a terrible, terrible, terrible name. Oh my god. It's one of those names you tell people about and you're like, no, it's not a shitty metal band. It's actually like a really good sort of crazy ass like punk garage band that plays huge ass like, I can't even think of it, like Thin Lizzy riffs. Like, it's amazing. It's fantastic. They've got a new album out on Infinity Cat Records. It's entitled I'm Rich Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, and that track is called Ugliest Son. They're all that good. And we started everything off with the Penetrators doing Baby Don't You Tell Me from the recently reissued Kings of Basement Rock LP on Slovenly Records. We mentioned at the top of the show that I have an interview with Rick Miller of Southern Culture on the Skids. We did this at the end of August, talking about the band's upcoming tour, as well as their upcoming like split double LP that's coming out October 1st on Yep Rock Records. It's entitled Mondo Zombie Boogaloo, and it's got songs with Los Straitjackets, as well as the Fleshtones. It's like very much, as the title would suggest, it's very much a Halloween sort of show. And it's so good. I can't wait to actually have a copy of this on vinyl. Like the songs are fantastic. Some covers, some originals. They talk about, I talk with Rick about an original on it called The Loneliest Ghost in Town, and it's worth buying the whole album. So let's talk with Rick, shall we? Rick Miller from Southern Culture on the Skids.
What's up?
I'm talking to you about the album that Southern Culture has coming out with the Fleshtones and Los Straitjackets, the Mondo Zombie Boogaloo record.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. I don't know. It's kind of exciting to work with all those bands. Like, I'm a fan, you know?
Yeah. How the particular like trio of artists come together?
Well, we did this thing for Yup Rock. Even though we weren't really on the Yup Rock label anymore, we put our last few records out on our own label, and we'll continue to do so. But we're good friends with Yup Rock, and we did this 15-year anniversary thing with them where we did last year at a small club here in town called the Local 506. And we played with Los Straitjackets and the Fleshtones both, and it was such a success, I guess, that I talked to Glenn, and I just mentioned, you know, between all three of these bands, we've got almost 100 years of experience in rock, you know. So he was like, yeah, we should do a record or something like that about that. And I said, yeah, and a tour, you know, but anyway, Glenn kind of took it and ran with it, and I kind of lost touch with them, got busy with some stuff, and I got a phone call last March, said, hey, let's have lunch. So I went down and had lunch with the guys, and they just said, hey, Los Straitjackets have recorded 5 Halloween songs. We're going to do a Halloween record. And I was kind of like, I don't know. I mean, we just did one, you know, Zombified, and or, you know, had released it the year before, so it took me a while to kind of get on board with that. You know what I mean? I felt we were kind of pushed into it. But once I started doing it, I started thinking, wow, you know, this is a lot of fun. I wasn't really inspired to do the Halloween stuff, but I just started reading a whole bunch of ghost stories. Oh. I didn't know how else to really do it. Because we, like I said, my head wasn't there when they hit me with it. But I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So I just started reading a bunch of ghost stories. I got this great compilation, like, you know, so many good ghost stories through, you know, last, I don't know, two centuries, I guess, compiled in this, I don't know, it was like a Black Lizard compilation or something. I don't know what it was. But, God, there's some great ghost stories and kind of inspired me. And I went back and I watched some old horror films that I really liked, like The Tingler. And,
yes.
And you know what I mean? I got in the mood, you know. So anyway, we did that. So I was kind of, and by the time we were done with it, I was really happy we did it.
Well, I mean, it's not, I mean, obviously you talked about Zombified, which you guys re-released the year before, but
right.
I mean, you've also put out a couple tracks on the Halloween Hootenanny comp years
oh,
back
yeah.
as well.
Oh, yeah. We don't have, I mean, Halloween is my favorite time of year, so it's not hard to get in the mood. I just wasn't, when they first hit me with it, I was like, oh, well, we just did that, because I was actually starting to think about working on like a kid's record or something a little bit different. Along some other lines, but like I said, it just sounded like too much fun, and it's not hard to get in the mood. I shouldn't say that because, I had a great time reading all these ghost stories. I'm still reading them. It's like 2,000 and some pages.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, and it's like everything from, O'Henry, God, he wrote a great one called I think it was The Rented Room, and then, I don't know, and just all kinds of, Mark Twain wrote some good ones, and it seems like every author wrote something. It must have been very popular around the turn of the century, you know, because a lot of them are from that time. And what's fun is you read so much of it, you go, wow, well, I've seen, this is like these themes start to repeat themselves over and over and over, and I don't know, that's kind of how we got the Loneliest Ghost in Town, the idea for that song, too.
That's a really fun song.
Right. Well, that song is weird because I was reading those ghost stories, and obviously haunted houses always have something to do with, you know, something unresolved, either a murder or something very violent happened there, of course, and the ghosts are kind of locked into this purgatory or whatever, the haunted house, and they're kind of stuck there, and their job is like to get some resolution or, you know what I mean, or just kind of scare people. And at the same time, I was trying to refinance my house.
Oh.
Yeah. And the banks, they're just so hard to deal with. And I was reading some stuff on real estate, and they said, well, you know, obviously the hardest houses to sell for us are houses where there's been a murder committed or, you know what I mean, some sort of crime. I thought, well, you know, what if you were that guy? You know, what if you were that ghost? Nobody wanted to move into the house you haunted, you know, and just sat there. You know. Anyway, that's kind of where those two met, you know. But anyway, putting on a show for nobody, you know. I know what that's like. I know what that's like.
Well, I find it kind of interesting because, I mean, like, in addition to the ghost stories, you talk about, you just talked about how you had kind of gone back and watched movies. I mean, you've got Tingler Blues on the record. But, like, what other, and I like the way it starts out with the words from the movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it puts it in context, you know. I just really like that thing about fear, you know, because fear does. I mean, they're exactly right. And that movie is so incredible to me because it's just kind of, it touches on like that, you know, Vincent Price was like a psychologist in there, as hammy as he is.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like a fear psychologist. And he actually takes LSD in the movie. You know, and when he's done with his trip, it's like an hour later, he's like drinking coffee, like talking. You know? And the idea of putting those buzzers in the movie chairs,
oh, yeah.
You know, in the theaters and stuff. Wow, I don't know. Great stuff.
No, the funny thing about the Tingler is that, you know, it's a total schlock fest, but like the idea behind it is it's a really sort of scary movie where the idea is that the more scared you get and the more freaked out you get, the more they grow, the more they feed.
Right. And that's exactly what happens when you're scared all the time too, you know? I mean, it drives you crazy. So the idea that like over time our natural instinctual defense was to scream, and that shrunk, you know, or that kept that parasite under control. I don't know. That's just kind of, that's good stuff.
I can't imagine what it was like to actually see that in the theater, like where it's just, everybody is just screaming as loud as they can.
Oh, and the great climax where it gets loose in a movie theater. I mean, it's, I don't know. There's, it's got a lot going for it.
what I find kind of interesting is also on the record, you guys, you do some collaborations, all three bands together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where did Que Monstruos Son come from? Like, what was the process involved in making that? Whose idea was it originally?
You know, I don't know, because they came to us. We came to all this late. We were the last band. And they just said, hey, we want you guys to sing, basically, on this track, so we can have one track with the whole all the bands on it, because they had recorded it a while before we even got it. So I would, you'd have to talk to one of the Straight Jackets or one of the Flesh Tones, because I don't know. I mean, Peter does a great, it's like Bela Lugosi, you know. of course, he's a little like that already, you know. He's got a little bit of that in him, you know. I don't know what that, I don't know exactly what his heritage is, but there's some Eastern European in there somewhere. It just sounds right, you know. But anyways, but no, we just kind of got onto that kind of late. So it really wasn't, we really didn't have much to do with that one, other than put some backing vocals on it.
Southern Culture knocks out a cover or two on this, and you've done quite a few in the course of your career. Where do you find your covers?
They're just songs we like. You know, we don't really have any one genre we draw from. So it's we did that compilation. I don't know if you've heard the one Country Palace and Favorites that we did.
Yeah,
but we just, you know, we just pull them from all over the place. And the hard thing about a cover is doing a cover for me is that you always want to kind of twist it to where it's yours. And that's as hard as writing a song, really. Maybe even harder, because you've got something you kind of got to overcome how much you like the original. And it's like, the best example probably is from Countrypolitan, where we had Life's a Gas, that T-Rex.
Yeah.
And I tried to sing it, and it just didn't sound right. Mary tried it, and it didn't sound right, and we were kind of going to just junk the whole project. But I was listening just on a whim. I had a George Jones, Melo Montgomery song that we also did on that record called Let's Invite Them Over. I think it was on that record. Maybe it was on Mojo Locked. I can't remember. But I just remember, I go, well, you know, we should do a duet on this. And because I listened to the lyrics, I had to write down the lyrics and stuff, and I thought, wow, you know, this is a very bittersweet kind of song, and it sounds like a country song, like in its lyrics, that could be sung as a duet, you know. So we approached it that way, and it came out really good, you know. But it took a long time to get there, you know. Goo Goo Muck we've been doing for a long time. We love Ronnie Cook's version. But we like the Cramps version too, and I think that one is almost more an homage to Lux Interior than anything else. I think that's why we picked that, because we're all big Cramps fans.
Who isn't?
Yeah, exactly. It is. That's why we picked that one. We love their version too. Psychedelic Jungle, I think, is my favorite Cramps record overall.
I'm a big fan of that one myself. So, what are the plans for the tour that all three bands are doing?
Well, we had some previous engagements, so we can't do the first week, but we're picking up on the second and third week of it. And I think we're all just really like one another, and we all want to play together. I don't know. I'm sure that we'll do something together, all together. Kind of back and forth. We've toured with both these bands quite a bit. And, like, when we toured with Los Straitjacks, we'd always get Eddie or somebody to come out and play guitar, and we'd do Carve That Possum or some song, and we could get one of those guys to come out and play some guitar on. And I'm sure things like that will happen on the tour coming up. I kind of, you know, the only thing that I don't like about the Halloween thing is that it will be hard to tour any other month than October with these guys, you know? I guess that's not. We could do it, but, you know, it just seems like we could. I would love to take it to the coast, Midwest, get to Lawrence. We haven't played there in quite a while, Kansas City, you know?
Yeah.
But we got to kind of do it in legs, because it's hard to be out for more than a couple weeks now.
Now, going back to what you had sort of said at the beginning, I'm kind of curious about this idea of a children's album.
Oh, well, I got a 7-year-old, and I hang out with him a lot, and I just listen to what he says, and I just, you know, there's just some things in there that I just think, that'll be really fun. And we did a benefit. We're doing a benefit for his elementary school in a couple weeks, and we did one for his preschool a couple of years ago, and the kids were like they're the best dancers.
Oh, yeah. You
know, totally uninhibited. And they just had such a great time, and it was just good for me to watch them have fun. And I just, that's when I got the idea. It's like, well, why not? We could do that, you know? There's a lot of art songs that would work as is, but it would be fun to write some new ones. You know, it doesn't have to, it could be an EP or something, but, you know, I don't know. But anyway, we were starting to work on that, and then it kind of took a backseat to some of these other projects, but I want to do that. I don't know if we will in the next year, but I would like to get back on track on that. But, you know, it's really fun. I don't really read much in the way of kids' books. I really enjoy that. What was that, Shel Silverstein?
Where the Sidewalk Ends?
Yeah, what? I love reading that. As an adult, I like reading that.
Oh, yeah. Like,
great book.
The best kids' stuff is the stuff that you can go back as an adult and read, and you enjoy it just as much, if not more.
Right. I agree. It works on many levels, you know. It's like the way my son and I share cartoons, too. You know, because we do, you know. And it's not just nostalgia, but I actually enjoy watching Roadrunner, and, you know, and I enjoy watching Yosemite Sam, and it works for me, and it works for him. Bullwinkle, same thing, you know. Anyway.
Right on. Well, Rick, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for the opportunity.
Many, many thanks to Rick Miller from Southern Culture on the Skids for speaking with me. It was great to get to talk to him about the band and that upcoming album. You can find more information about Mondo Zombie Boogaloo at mondozombieboogaloo.com or at yeprock.com. They've got tour dates for the Fleshtones Straight Jacket Southern Culture Tour, as well as the ability to pre-order the album either digitally on CD or double, I believe, purple vinyl. So fantastic. So let's get back into the music, shall we? Coming up next, we've got a track off Mondo Zombie Boogaloo. It's the only track on the album featuring all three bands. It is Los Straight Jackets featuring the Fleshtones and Southern Culture on the Skids. It is it's a Spanish version of the Monster Mash. It is entitled Que Monstruos Son.
Noche oscura y terrible está en el castillo embrujado empezar a gritar los monstruos peligrosos Frankenstein y Batman comieron quesadillas y vampiro en Pepián. Si son
que monstruos
son terrible. Bailaba la llorona en los brazos de Aquaman y Drácula volaba al compás de cha-cha-cha. Morticia se penaba con carjete y guagarras mientras que el hombre lobo ayullaba sin cesar. Si son
que monstruos
terrible. Zombies se ha divertido, la fiesta había comenzado. Los invitados incluyen el hombre lobo, Drácula y sus hijos. Si son
qué monstruos,
terrible.
después al gato loco la luna contempló, labrando el pobrecito, maullando se quedó, con rebanadas de aire, moreo de indigestión, el pobre gatito murió, murió, murió. Si son,
qué monstruos son,
qué monstruos,
qué monstruos son,
terrible. Bailaba la llorona en los brazos de Aguaman, y Drácula volaba al compás de cha-cha-cha. Morticia se penaba con carrete y guacarás, mientras que el hombre lobo ayudaba sin cesar. Mi estimado barón de terror, ¿ha comido sucesos hoy? Drácula, ¿le gustaría un poco de sangrita? Yo nunca beber sangrita. Hombre lobo, mi amigo, ¿cómo te gusta la fiesta? Vuelve, hombre lobo, vuelve. Atrás, atrás. No, no. Ayúdame, Igor. Ayúdame. Ah, Igor. Igor.
Señor, sangre.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I came to play and I made a play.
The title track to the album of the same name, that was Funhouse by the Stooges. Why did I play a 7.5 minute long track on my podcast? Because I could. Because it's so fucking great. Before that, new music from Wow y los Args from Spain. That is from their album Todo Roto on Slovenly Records. It is Rescate Griego. Ugh. You can find a review of that at rockstarjournalist.com. Big fans of Wow y los Args. If you haven't heard their first album, Cantan en Español, I highly recommend tracking it down. This Todo Roto is almost better than that. It's just, oh God, it's so fucking good. Like, I mean, I'm not usually prone to just, like, saying something's just good, but, I mean, screw it. Like, it's everything I wanted the new King Khan and the Shrines album to be. Like, it's fun, it's dancey, it's got energy. It's not a fucking downer. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that new King Khan album, like, I mean, it's good. Like, don't get me wrong, but, man, it is just, it's a bum trip, like, start to fucking finish. Not a bum trip is a free EP from the Atom Age, EP. That track, When You See Me Hurt, you can get that yourself at ep.theatomage.com, and you get 4 tracks. It's, oh, man. I'm hoping that it'll be, it means that there's new stuff on the way, like, in a physical release. Or if nothing else, I'd love to be able to buy this as, like, a 7-inch or a 10-inch. Because, man, I've seen that band probably 3 or 4 times in the past couple of years, and it's one of their best live shows you'll see. I highly recommend anything they do, and you can find information about them on Facebook and Twitter. And we started everything out with Los Straitjackets featuring the Fleshtones and Southern Culture on the Skids doing Que Monstruos Son. That is a Spanish language version of the Monster Mash off of the Mondo Zombie Boogaloo double LP out October 1st. We've got one more set of music, and we're going to go into it with a double LP that I was very, very happy to finally get my hands on a copy of. It was reissued earlier this year by Gern Blanston Records for Record Store Day on very beautiful vinyl. Unfortunately, it wasn't readily available everywhere, but I found it at the Record Collector in Iowa City, Iowa. It is entitled The Rec Collection. The band is The Big Boys. This is a live version of TV.
I'm just sweating my old prom dress. Just wet. You think I'll wet my pants? You might notice me. You don't notice the bed house except that box that's on the shelf. What's on TV? What a PC? What do you see? Big boy TV.
Wait a minute. Is she really going out with them?
Much as it pains me to say this, I'm kind of happy there's no longer Psych to Die, because if Psych to Die still existed, I don't know if that means we'd have Nightbirds. And I would rather live in a world where we have Nightbirds than a world where we have Psyched to Die. From their Sterile Walls EP on Grave Mistake Records, that was Psyched to Die with Permanent Solution. Yes, that band features Nightbirds frontman Brian Gorsinger on drums. And because there is Nightbirds, he can't play drums. That band basically put out a demo, two EPs, and then done. They were fantastic. I loved them while they were around, but I will take Nightbirds any day. Before that, The Humpers with For Lovers Only from the Fast, Fucked, and Furious single on Sympathy for the Record Industry. Always a mark of quality. Rock and roll. What Will the Neighbors Think by Murphy's Law from the What Will the Neighbors Think single. I recommend purchasing it. I recommend not listening to the B-side, entitled Reefer Man, which is a really bad ska song. I'm not saying that all ska is bad. I am just saying that is a bad song that is also ska. But What Will the Neighbors Think? Quality punk rock and roll. And we started off with a live version of TV from the Big Boys Wreck collection. I think I now have all of their music on LP, and I'm very happy about that. They're all represses, and I'm fine with that because I would be too afraid to play original presses. Let's put it that way. And that's the show for this week. Thank you for listening. Coming up on the next episode in a few weeks, I don't know. In about a month from now, I'm going to CMJ again, which means I'll be bringing back crazy rock and roll, punk rock, and whatever else I can find from New York City. We've got a Halloween episode coming up, as always. I think this year we're going to go less in the rock and roll vein and more for like a spooky sort of soundtracky type thing. We'll see. Stuff is in the works. We've also got some interviews upcoming. I believe we'll have something with Two Cow Garage about their upcoming tour and album. So all sorts of stuff in the works. As always, tell your friends to download and listen to the podcast. Tell your friends with bands and record labels to send me stuff for review. It's always, always a pleasure. And you can find this podcast as well as blogs, reviews, etc., so on and so forth at rockstarjournalist.com, where I talk about vinyl, zines, books, tapes, tangible ephemera in this digital age of ours. As always, thank you for listening.